Parashas Akev. Yeah, Parashas Akev. A lot to talk about in Parashas Akev, but I think there's a message in Parashas Akev which is very important. As the summer comes to a close for most of us, I think day camps are all over. I think sleepaway camps are ending tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. But the summer's coming to a close. And if we look and reflect over the summer, in my humble opinion, it was a very difficult summer for Klal Yisrael. There were numerous tragedies, too many tragedies, very difficult tragedies, the loss of young people, middle-aged people, teachers, educators. It was a very difficult summer. There wasn't a week that went by that you didn't turn on or open or read a Jewish magazine, a paper, Jewish website, that wasn't filled with tragedy. This happened, and that happened, water-related, and this related, and that related. It's just a very difficult summer. Coupled with the fact that we have two sitting congresswomen who openly want to cut off ties financially with Eretz Yisrael, who openly speak so ill of Eretz Yisrael, which is exactly against last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, Hashem says, I focus on Eretz Yisrael, and these two Mishagoyim spend their entire day trying to bring down Eretz Yisrael. It's a scary world we live in. Not only that, forget so much being a Yid, but Stam is a globally, it's very difficult to live in the world today. You can't go to a mall, you can't go shopping, you never know which Meshuggah is going to come out with a gun. It's a very scary world we live in. So I think most of us are really left with, at the end of the summer, with more questions than answers. Like, what's going on over here? What's happening to this world that we used to feel was somewhat comforting and somewhat understanding and somewhat logical, and it's all gone. There's nothing makes sense anymore. Nothing is logical, nothing is coherent. So the simple answer, I believe, is that this is exactly the intro that Kosh Baruch Hu wants us to have as we approach Elul. We are Mevarchim Chodesh Elul. If you read all the Musar Svarim, they all write different stories of different Gedolim, that when they'd be Mevarchim Chodesh Elul, they would all have such a reaction to Chodesh Elul, Mevarchim, not even Elul itself, just Mevarchim. This Gadol would scream and cry, and this Gadol would faint, and they're real stories. To us, it's like, you know, it's hard for us to even imagine such a feeling of Chodesh Elul. But we need to think about it. Chodesh Elul is a big deal. This is serious. Now, the biggest court case of our life is coming up in five weeks, where Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. But so perhaps the Torah is just giving us a little bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a little bit of a push to get into the mood, to get into the feeling of seriousness of life and all these other things. But I believe the answer is found in a comment made by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in last week's parsha. Yaakov writes, it says in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking the Jewish people, he tells them, Zachar Sheshek Tzavta, he says, remember, do not forget how you angered me in the Midbar. Where did we anger Hashem in the Midbar? So Pashup Shah, if you read the Pesukim, it sounds like it's the Chet Eagle. But Rabbi Yaakov says there wasn't the Chet Eagle. It happened before the Eagle. It happened in Mara. Says Rabbi Yaakov, what happened in Mara? Says Rabbi Yaakov, what did we do wrong in Mara? In Mara, we came to Mara, and there was no water. All the water was bitter. And we flipped out. We went crazy. He said, Kosh Baruch, how are we supposed to survive like this? There's no water. Hashem said, don't worry, I got it covered. Take a bitter stick, throw it into the bitter water, it's going to turn sweet. That's completely illogical. The whole thing makes no sense. You took us out of Mitzrayim, a land with water, to a place with no water, and you're telling me that it's going to work out like this to be sweet. The whole thing's crazy. It's illogical. Says Moshe Rabbeinu to the Bnei Yisrael, that was your mistake. You're trying to inject your logic into my world. You're trying to inject your understanding, your comprehension into my world. It doesn't work that way. My world, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is not your understanding. You're not going to understand the way I run this world. And that's why we learned about Mara even before we got the Torah. Because before you even get the Torah, you can't be Am Yisrael if you think that the world is going to make sense to you. If you think that you're going to explain every occurrence and every story and every development you're going to explain, forget it. You're not going to make it. Because you can't. It's illogical. The ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are way beyond our comprehensions. Yes, we take Musa from it and we try to grow from it, but to try to explain it logically and to try to come out with a reason for why this happened or that happened, that don't even bother. It's not our job, nor is it our purpose on this world to try to understand it. And the more we try to understand it, the more we're really angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to believe that He has a master plan, He's got it covered, He knows what He's doing, He doesn't need our help, our assistance in running the world. But that's not very comforting for most human beings. That's still pretty depressing. So what I think perhaps the comforting message of the whole summer would be is to appreciate what we do have. Whenever a person spends, the Arachayim HaKadosh writes in the beginning of this of the parsha, when a person starts to think he's running the show and forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's really a breach in HaKaris HaTov. A person has to remember, let's be grateful for what we do have. We spend our whole life saying what we don't have. I don't have this, I don't have that. Okay, true. What about the things we do have? When tragedy hits and you see something that happens, you say to yourself, you know what, Baruch Hashem, I have this. I have my health. have my family, I have my job, I have my community, I have my neighbors, whatever it may be, fill in the blank, however it may fit for your lifestyle. But it makes us feel, you know what, value those people in our lives a little bit more, you know, the children, the grandchildren, whoever we're connected to, just appreciate them that much more, because we see Nebuch, they can be taken, or anyone can be taken so quickly. It's really a chance for us to reflect and appreciate all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And that's something we're makir toif to appreciate all that Hashem gives us. The yard site of the Satmar Rebbe is this week, Chavav El. Chavav Av. It's my son's birthday also, that's why I remember it. I'm not so good with yard sites, but the Satmar Rebbe's yard site. So there's much to be said about the Satmar Rebbe. I'm not going to give a whole hesped on the Satmar Rebbe, even though there's so much to say about the Satmar Rebbe. I'm just pointing out that in the world today, people speak ill of the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoelish Teitelbaum. They say he was anti-Israel, he didn't love Israelis, he didn't love all Jews. It's not true. It's loyhoiv l'nivra. I'm not taking responsibility for the Torah character. They're their own mess, whatever. I don't think Rabbi Yoelish Teitelbaum would be very thrilled with the Torah character movement today, kissing and hugging these Mishogoyim from Iran. I can't imagine in a million years. But whatever, they went their own way. Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum was a person who loved every all stripes and all colors. He was a big Oyev Chesed. He was a big Baal Chesed. He gave away every penny that he had to all different types of Yidden. He was really, really a very special Yid. But we often think of Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum as a Rebbe, like, you know, a mystical Rebbe. He made Moifsim and he did Staka. But I've said this before, it's worth mentioning again, especially when his yard site is nearing. Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rav in Memphis, Tennessee for many years. He was a big Talmud of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. So they once asked Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, what did Rav Moshe do when he got stuck on something? We never think about it. Like, what did Rav Moshe do when he didn't know the answer to something? What did Rav Moshe do when he got stuck in the sugya? So we'd say, it never happened. He's Rav Moshe Feinstein. He never got stuck on things. Rav Ephraim Greenblatt says he was the messenger from Rav Moshe. Whenever Rav Moshe didn't know something, he sent him to one person. He sent him always to the Satmar Rav. That was the one address that Rav Moshe sent to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. And he said two things always happened when he went to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, to the Satmar Rav. First of all, the Satmar Rav always was holding in that sugya, whatever Rav Moshe was learning. You can imagine Rav Moshe was learning everything, Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he said, whatever Rav Satmar Rav said, Rav Moshe accepted, b'lev shalom. That's what Rav Ephraim Greenblatt said about his interactions with Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rav. So as his yard site is coming upon us, I think it's worth reflecting. Not only was he a gadol ches, he was obviously clearly a gadol teif. You learn his svarim. You know, a lot of people learn his controversial sefer, his shalosh shvuah sefer, about his opinion on Eretz Yisrael. Okay. I would urge you to learn his other svarim. I would urge you to learn his Shas and Shuvah Svarim. I would urge everyone to learn his Chumash Sefer. His Chumash Sefer is unbelievable. He starts off with about 15 questions, and he weaves and waves it through everything, and at the end of it, he comes up with an answer to make everything work out. It's fascinating. It's unbelievable. He was a big gadol b'Torah. Clearly, Rav Moshe Feinstein gave his haskama to it, and Rav Moshe held of him very highly. It's not true. They say the Satmar Rebbe had no children. That's not true. Read any of the historical books, you know it's not true. Satmar Rebbe had three daughters. The reason why I think they say he had no children was because one of them went off and married a Tzioni in Eretz Yisrael. So I think they don't like to talk about that daughter. So they say Kilo, she was Nechrav, I don't know. But she wasn't dead. She was alive. She had three daughters. They all survived. I don't think all of them got married. But he definitely had three daughters, and some of them did have grandchildren. So when you read the books and they say the Satmar Rebbe had no children, that's a great example of fake news. That's not true. The Satmar Rebbe did have children. He didn't have sons. That's true. That's why his nephew took over. After Rabbi Yoel died in 79, his nephew, Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, took over. After Rav Moshe Teitelbaum died, he had four sons that are today still split today in Satmar. And that's what we have today. But Rabbi Yoel, he did have. Every once in a while, you'll see an article that there's a Satmar Einikol who's in the Tzahal. Rabbi Yoel has, it's ironic, Rabbi Yoel has a grandson. He has two different types of grandsons. There's one grandson who, according to the reports, Taka was regular chassidish, and he went off to derech, and he's not from today. He's in the Tzahal, but he's not from. There's another one who's Taka from Yid. He just joined the army, wants to protect the Am Yisrael. I rather don't think the two things are steered to being Abiel's grandchildren. I don't think Abiel was anti-anything. I think Abiel had issues with the establishment of a government, but he loved every Yid, and he wanted you to save every Yid if you could. There's no doubt in my mind he loved Yidden more than a lot of us love other Yidden. People speak ill of him. It's really not correct. They really don't know the history, the biography. Read his books. There's at least two books about his biography, one written by Meiselman, that's a grandson from Chicago. Wonderful, wonderful books written about the Satmar Rebbe. But nonetheless, his yard site this week, it's kedai to mention, just to think of him in that, in the world of Torah like that, often is lost. I must apologize. I'm going to have to cut shir a little short or run out right afterwards. This is the Sunday vacation day for the Sokolov family, which we tried to have vacation between the shurim, so we only have between Sunday and Tuesday. So we have a very short amount of time to have vacation, so we have to really nutz ois every single minute that we have. So if I stay here late, I will have very angry children and even a more angry wife. So,
where are we going?
We're going to New Jersey. Yeah, on this salary, that's as far as we go. Okay, Zakti Gemara. Okay, Zakti Gemara. Rava Amar. Okay, so we're holding over here in the Gemara. We're trying to figure out the relationship between Tzaras and Mila. How do you deal with a Tzaras and a Mila when you have a contradiction between the mitzvah of Mila and the prohibition of Tzaras? So the Gemara says, we had two pshatim. One pshat was it's exeris akosta from the word bisar, that you're supposed to do mila b'tzaras. And the second pshat in the Gemara was, we have a principle called asay doicha loisa say. The asay of tzaras is perhaps doicha the loisa say. The asay of mila is perhaps doicha the loisa say of tzaras. The Gemara had a problem because tzaras carries an asay in a lav. Chloikish Rishonim had to learn the Gemara. The Gemara starts off a new Gemara, Rava Omar. Mila b'zmanoi doicha. The Gemara says, mila b'zmanoi is doicha tzaras loitzricha kro. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that mila is doicha, a regular yom hashmini mila is doicha tzaras. Why? Mikav v'chaymer asya. I can learn it from a kav v'chaymer. What's the kav v'chaymer? Uma Shabbos dechamira doicha tzaras. If Shabbos, which is more chomer than tzaras, Shabbos is more chomer, it beats out tzaras. Uma Shabbos dechamira doicha tzaras like kol shekin. Again, you have Shabbos and bris mila. We know the only bris mila that's doicha Shabbos is a mila b'shmini. So if you have an 8-day bris, you do it on Shabbos. What happened to the Isra of Shabbos? The answer is Shabbos loses to Mila. Now, if I had to ask Mila and Tzaras, which is more chomer? The answer is, of course, Shabbos and Tzaras, which is more chomer? So you think to yourself, Shabbos is more chomer than Tzaras. So if I know Mila beats out Shabbos, so then I know Mila beats out Tzaras as well. So then I don't need a pasuk. When do I need a pasuk? I need a pasuk when it's shaloi bismane. When the baby's not on day 8, the baby's on day 10. On day 10, you don't do it on Shabbos. So if I don't do the bismillah on Shabbos, how do I now know that the mila would beat out tzaras? So then I need a pasuk to tell me that the bismillah is doiche when it's shaloi bismane. That's how Rashi speaks out over here. Look in Rashi number 2. Lo tzricha kra. So what do I do with the pasuk of Besar? It's being referred to a case of a shaloi bezmanai, when the baby is already after the 8th day, of a beinani, where beinani is between the 8th day and when he becomes a gadol. So that bris is also doicha tzaras. So amalei Reb Safa l'Rav, v'mimaydi Shabbos chamir. Now the Gemara is going to take issue with the whole premise. Who told you Shabbos is more chamir? Dilma tzaras chamir. Maybe go the other way around. Maybe tzaras is more chamir. Why shken doicha savoida? Because Tzaras pushes off working in the Beis HaMikdash. If a Kohen has Tzaras, he's not allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, so one second. Va'avoida, doichet Shabbos. And yet avoiding in the Beis HaMikdash beats out Shabbos. So if you do 1 + 1, where are you left with? It leaves you off that Tzaras is taka more chomer. Because again, if someone has Tzaras, he can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. And avoiding in the Beis HaMikdash beats out Shabbos. So if Tzaras beats out avoiding, and avoiding beats out Shabbos, so it means Tzaras beats out Shabbos. So what's the raya, says the Gemara? Maybe Tzaraz does beat out Shabbos. So
does the Avodah beat out Shabbos, or is it just not an issur to do this?
Okay, that's a good question.
Like a bris, which is actually...
Yes, I don't want to get into this, but the Achorinim have a problem with this. They want to argue that maybe it's not the same thing. Maybe the idea of Avodah on Shabbos is not comparable to a bris. Because it's different reasons of why, how you want to word it. But there's a kasha we could talk about maybe. Maybe, possibly. But the Gemara thinks now that that's a fear of Kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says a wild tzaras. Zakti Gemara, no. Hasam lav mishum dechamir tzaras. Zakti Gemara, you got it all wrong. Do you know why you can't work in the Beis HaMikdash if you have tzaras? Not because tzaras is more chomer than the avoida. El mishum de gaver hu doloi chazi. This person, he himself can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. He's missing something. He's not able to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the Gemara thinks he's still in a status of tumma. He's got to get rid of his tumma. After he gets rid of his tumma, he's able to move on. Because tzaras comes along with a tahara process. So even if I get rid of the tzaras, he's still not yet ready to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? Am I? V'yikitz b'harosa v'yavid. So what's the problem? Slice off the tzaras and let him go work in the Beis HaMikdash. If you tell me tzaras is not intrinsically more chomer, so get rid of the tzaras and let him go proceed. Says the Gemara, no. Mechoser tfilahu. He still needs to go to the mikvah. He, again, you could get rid of the tzaras, but you're still not getting him ready to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rashi, mechus tefila v'lo chazi la'avoyde b'hayoyim. He can't work today. U'mishum l'mochor. The leisa la'avoyde kamal v'mitchi. What are you telling me? Right now, today's Thursday. The guy has a piece of tzaras, a slice of the tzaras. Oh, let him go work in the Beis HaMikdash. He can't. He has to go to, he needs Harif Shemesh to go to the mikvah. So he can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. So what are you going to tell me? He should be allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash, be doicha for tomorrow? Tomorrow he'll work in the Beis HaMikdash after he goes to the mikvah tonight. But right now, the reason why he can't work in the Beis HaMikdash is not because of his tzaras. The tzaras is removed. The reason why he can't work in the Beis HaMikdash right now is because he has tumah on him. So the Gemara says, not so simple. Okay, we're going to learn a little bit about Negoyim. But to be very honest, my knowledge in Negoyim is extremely limited, and that's not coming from humble. That's coming from outright honesty. I'm not trying to fake anyone over here. I definitely don't know Negoyim. It's not one of the yeshiva mesechtas, you know. After Gittin Kedushin, it's Negoyim. That doesn't really work that way. But we'll try our best to say how much we know about Negoyim. So the Gemara says, Teinech Negoyim Tmeim.
Is this a push for Dafyomi?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a push for learning Kol HaTorah. So the Gemara says, Teinech Negoyim Tmeim. This is only fine if a person has what's called a Nega Tomei. What's a Nega Tomei? A Nega Tomei is a Nega that makes him Tomei, which means that the Tziras requires a Tevila posted. Says the Gemara, Tehoyri Ma'ikala Meimar. What happens if he has what's called a Nega Tohar? Now, what on earth is a Nega Tohar? So this is Machlokes Rishayim. Rashi learns what was in the Goyim Tohirim. Kigoyim Behek Uporcha Bekula. What's Behek? Behek means it has a very, very faint white spots. What's Porcha Bekula? Means that Tziras is not on one part of the body, but it's an outbreak. So on his whole body. So Rashi Ubekula Israbi L'Issa Ketzitza B'Sifri. All these things, although they don't render him Tomei, they carry a prohibition of cutting it off, which is very interesting. We would always assume a Tziras has a shame tzaras because it is a tzaras, and then you're not allowed to cut that off. Says the Sifri, no. Something could be called a nega, and it's not a nega that's mitame, but it's a nega that prohibits you from cutting it. Very interesting middle ground.
It prohibits avoda also?
Yeah, we'll see why. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, we'll see why. So the Sifri writes, Ein li ela mishe nizgak l'tumah. I would only know if it's a nega that makes you tome. Actually, nizgak l'tumah minayin tamalayim g'chol ha-sheyehu. The Sifri learns it's Xeris HaKasav, Kechol HaShayehu, every type of Nega that's called a Nega, even if it doesn't have Tumah status, renders you unable to cut it off and renders you Tomei. So the Gemara says, so back to the Gemara. So let's say the guy has the Goyim Tahirim, so he doesn't have to go to the Mikvah. So he doesn't.
Everyone renders you
Tomei? No. The Goyim Tahirim have a status of a Nega,
yeah.
But you don't have to go to the Mikvah. So after you cut it off, you technically. That's right, you can do the Avodah. So the fact the Gemara, so how do you deal with it would be the Goyim Tahirim? So Elam Ravashi, Ravashi switches to, Hey, Chadam Mirna Dasi, Asei V'dei Chalais Asei, when do we say Asei V'dei Chalais Asei, King Mila B'Tzaras? When do you have the principle of Asei V'dei Chalais Asei, only if it's something like Mila B'Tzaras, Inami Tzitzis V'Klaim, something like Tzitzis V'Klaim, why? The Be'idna, the Mis'akir Lav, Kumuki Asei. This is the principle of Be'idna. That when you're violating the law, at the exact same moment, you're doing the assay, right? I'm putting on the bag of tzitzis, which happens to be also wrapped in with a shatnez, but at the same time, I'm doing both. So that's the principle of assay deuchal assay. I'm cutting off the tzaras. At the same moment, I'm cutting off the earl. That's assay deuchal assay. But, hacha, but over here, be'inu demisaka the law, loy kamukim assay. But over here, what's happening? I'm cutting off the tzaras, and then an hour later, I'll walk into the Beis HaMikdash and doing the avodah. That's not at the same time. So we would think asay dechalayis means the asay is more important than the lav is more important, that I could push away the lav to fulfill the asay. That's not what the Gemara is saying. That's not the lumnus. Because if that would be the lumnus, why should it matter when you do it? The Gemara's lumnus, it has to happen at the same time. We'll see, it's machloikis. Why? Why does it have to happen at the same time? Why can't the lumnus be asay dechalayis means the Torah looks at an asay is more important than a lav? Which the way we learned this once when we learned the beginning of this parak, let's say by Mila. By Mila means Hashem wants a bris at all cost. So that's it, at all cost. So that means that whenever I have to violate the mitzvah, that's machshire Mila. That's all I did, machshire Mila. Why is machshire Mila deicha Shabbos? Because you gotta get the Mila. The Mila's gotta happen. If the Mila, without a knife, you can't have a Mila, and you need to have a Mila on Shabbos. So here the Gemara is assuming that's not the lumbus of Asei Deicha Loisus. Asei Deicha Loisus doesn't mean get the Asei done at all cost. Because if that would be the case, so cutting off the tzaras to allow the kohen to walk into the Beis HaMikdash to work should be justified. The Gemara says, no, everything has to happen at the same time. We'll discuss, Bli Nedar, in a few minutes, why the halacha is that way. But before we get to that, let's see Tosfos over here, number 3. Tosfos has a kasha from last week. We didn't really bring it up. Tosfos, if you remember, the Gemara told us last week that we can learn out from Tosfos at Akasha. Let's learn out from Mila B'Tzaras that Asei Decheloi Asei Va'Asei. We learned the Gemara last week, according to everyone except for the Rambam, that Tzaras has an Asei and a Lois Asei. Mila is an Asei. But Ma'is, at the end of the day, we know a Bris Mila is Decha Tzaras. That's only with the logic of Asei Decheloi Asei Va'Asei. So, Frek Tosfos Akasha, number 3, Vim Toimar. Why don't we learn out a new klal l'chol haTorah kulam? That asei is deicha lois asei va'asei. From where? for Mila Bitzaras. If Mila Bitzaras is justified, that's because Asay of Mila is Deicha the Leis Asay of Tzaras. So why don't we learn that Lachol HaTarikul? So Taisus gave an answer, Mila's unique, because it's Yudgimel Brises. Fine, we spoke about that a lot last week. Frekta Maram, number four. Frekta Maram, I have a very simple kasha. Why did Taisus have to jump to Mila Bitzaras? Why couldn't Taisus just learn out from Mila B'Shabbos? Every Mila B'Shabbos is working with the principle of Asay. Shabbos is an Asay and a Lois Asay. Mila is an Asay. If every Bris Mila is Deicha Shabbos, so by definition we have a Raya that Asay, Deicha Lois Asay Vasay.
No, because maybe the Shomer is telling you have to watch the Shabbos.
Right.
But what's watching the Shabbos when you have something like Bris, which is also an Os or Bris, then there's no more Shomer.
Okay, good. That was
so you only have the Lois Asay. So it's regular Asay, Deicha Lois
Asay. That's okay. So we saw such alumnus like that a while back in one of the first Taisus in the Perek, based on Taisus quoted a. It was Yushalmi Yevamis. That's where Baron Cutler learned it. Baron Cutler learned that the mitzvah of Shabbos dictates that you do the bris on Shabbos. That's the way Baron learned such a shver taisvus. But the pashas is you wouldn't assume like that.
If that were the case, we wouldn't need a special
No, because normally I say it's not the chalais to say vasei.
No, I'm
right.
So that's why
you
need.
The lima is teaching you to say.
Yeah, that was Taisus Kasha before. I mean, we had Besar to teach me. I say the chalais to say vasei b'tzaras. So Frek Taisus neilof mi neilof chol atorei kulo. So Frek the Maram, why do you have to jump to mila b'tzaras?
Also, Shabbos is a skila. So we're not going to say.
Is that true? Or is that only by Karis we say I say the chalais to say? There's a rule by.
Say.
Right, only in this.
So say, how could Shabbos be the model if it's a skila? Then we would have to expand that every.
Right. So you're saying the rye that we don't is the reason is the answer to the kasha. Okay, maybe. So let's see what the Maram says. It's a very geshmak in Maram, a little hard to understand. He writes, "Had the makshu ataisis mila deichet tzaras lemakshim had the mila deichet Shabbos." Simple. Every mila is deichet Shabbos. So echloim the svida the Shabbos lo havi asev leis asei. No, you're gonna have to say that Shabbos is not a regular asev leis. Say elo havi lav sheish b'misa v'karis. Gavaldik. Fine. Good. So that's first answer. Frek the Maram, skip one line. Aval tema. To Ashkenazim, kama mitzvahs asay dichsiv gabi Shabbos. There's so many asays by Shabbos. Could go in Zochor v'Shomer. There's tons of asays. V'tzarech loymer the lav l'inyan issa malach ayri. The Maram is learning a chiddush that when it says in the Torah Zochor v'Shomer, that's not an asay on issa malach. That's not an asay in Issa Malacha. Most of us think guard the Shabbos means, so don't violate the Shabbos. Says the Maram, that's not Pshat in the Pasuk. Elo, lekatshe b'sharmini kedushas. When it says in the Torah, zachar v'shamar, it doesn't mean, don't do Malacha. I mean, the Maram was assuming that there's a lav, lo yisasiko Malacha, and the asay of zachar v'shamar is an asay connected to the lav of Malacha, which means if I do Malacha on Shabbos, I'm violating zachar v'shamar, and I'm violating lo yisas. Says, that's not true. Zachar v'shamar means bring extra kedusha to the Shabbos. Zehu. Nothing to do with Issa Malach. So therefore, it's talking not allowed. It's not a asay v'lois asay v'asay. It's a regular asay versus a lois asay.
It's against the Gemara. The makor for women being chayv and kiddush.
Kol sheyeshna b'zchira yeshna b'shmir. Yeah. This is a very shver maram. I'm not disagreeing. This maram is assuming that zocha v'shomer does not come along with any malachas. Zocha v'shomer is just bringing kedusha. We assume not like that. We assume zocha v'shomer is connected to Issa Malach. But that's how the maram.
One asay.
No, it's numerous assays, but it's still going. There's still no lavin. There's no assay of Isra Malacha. The point of the Maram is that when it says in the Torah Zoch v'Shomer, that's not a fancy way of saying don't do Malacha l'isas Malacha. And on top of that, you have an assay not to do Malacha.
I thought that we have something outside of Shabbos, an assay to create the Shabbos, the Shabbos on all of that, and then the Zohar is to follow the lavin.
No, that's his chiddush. His chiddush over here is that's not the pshat.
He's saying that
the zochah v'shamar is not a din in the asay of the Isra Malach. The zochah v'shamar is an asay to bring kedusha into Shabbos. However you do that, however you fulfill that, but that's not connected to not doing malach.
You just said the asay of Isra Malach.
We would have assumed, and that's what Taisus assumes in his kash, that the Taisus says don't do work. That's the lav. Then the Taisus says guard and watch the Shabbos. What does it mean guard and watch the Shabbos? That's what. That's right. That's the assay of the lavin. Sakta Maram. No, it's not. It's an independent din called have Kedusha Shabbos. Okay. Fine. That's a side note. Now, let's go back to the issue of Negoyim. An issue which we'll try to get our figure this out. Rashi said there's something called Negoyim Tahirim. How did Rashi learn Negoyim Tahirim? So Rashi said that's either a case of Bahak or that's a case of Parcha B'chol Gufan. Either it's a case where you have very, very, very faint white spots. That's called a nega tahar. Or a person has what's called a breakout of teras on his entire body. What's going on over here? Number five. The bark in a nega. What are you talking about? That's not a nega.
You go to the Cohen, also.
No, it's not a nega. The Cohen's going to say nothing. You have a skin infection. Go to a dermatologist, right? Move on. That's not a nega. The Gemara has this thing called a nega tor and a nega tome. It has to at least have a title of a nega. The choshu mikarom beitz olamata, if it has a certain shade, that's what the Mishnah talks about in the goyim, what's the right shade for a nega, loy mikri nega. So what's going on over here? Rashi split this middle level. There's something called a nega tahar. A nega tahar has an iser katzitza, but doesn't carry tumah. What's a nega tahar? Is it Rashi? The case where it's bohik, where it's very vague. It's very faint spots. That's not a nega. If you would cut that off, you would not violate any iser. If you look in the Chumash, in Parshas Tazria, when the Torah describes it, it sounds like it's nothing. It's a skin, discoloration. That's not even a nega. Right. It wouldn't be called a nega. So, what's Rashi saying?
So there's no
Gidev Dega,
no Kabanas.
Nothing, right. That's what Tesh was assuming. So he doesn't understand how Rashi could learn. That's Pratt and the Gemara. Then he has another kash. If I could say any of it, Umad the Marbe B'Sifri. I would do it the Sifri. Ashley Niskak L'Tumah Ha Nega Mikaron Beitz L'Malo. Elo Shem Beitz L'Tumah She Lovon M'Chiyas O'Pisyon. He says, so what is the Sifri talking about? Sifri is talking about where at least it's somewhat closer in the shape, but it's missing some of the other simonim. I mean, this is the wrong color. It's not changing the colors off. It's not a neg. The Sifri was talking about where it has the right color, but it's missing some of the other requirements, whatever they may be, to become a neger. So he doesn't like that pshat. Uporcha bakula. This is interesting. What about Rashi's second pshat, where it's a full outbreak? Nami in loy maboy. Shalay yokuts. Given the porcha bakula, ate kal gufa yikuts. So how do we read that line in Taisavit? So I learned that line in Taisavit. Very simple. Remember the Gemara at Akasha? Just cut off the neger? So, cut off his whole body? What are you talking about over here? Full body surgery? That's the way I learned the taste of it. We'll see in a second.
Once you cut off a small part of it, then it's no longer called gufo, then you become tummy. So it actually makes it worse.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know.
You cut off the mother one.
Cut everything else.
That was 100%. That's what happened with 99%, you'd be tummy.
Oh, the surgeons.
I'm not sure. I don't know. But the taste of it, but look at the words of the taste of it, because we'll see in a second, the Minchas Ariel takes issue with this. But he writes, Uporcha bakula nami ain loy maboy. You can't say that. Shlo yikots. You can't cut it off. They give him the porcha bakula ate kagufa yikots. Because the Gemara said in a second, what was the next follow up of Gemara's kasha? Cut it off. In fact, the taste of it, cut it off. Cut off his whole body. So El, this pshat's wrong. So how do you learn the Gemara? It says the taste of it, Venirli, the negoim tohoim him nega ha oime shneshavu is vele posha vele haviu simin tumma. What's a nega tahar? It's the in-between stage. It's the waiting stage to see what's going to be with these negayim. When you're waiting to see what's going to be with these negayim, and they haven't yet proven to be simanei tumah, that's considered a nega tahar. So learns the Taisus of it. So if you look over number 6 in the Minchas Ariel, he points out over Tzarech Bir. Ma maksha otter kol gufa yikritz. What was the Taisus of it's big kash on Rashi? Rashi learned that the tzaras is on the whole body, and then the Taisus of it said, oh, you're going to cut it off? What was his kash? Harry Hakoitis Simone Tuma Chaiv Afal Mutsase. You're still going to be Chaiv, you need to cut off part of it. The aim of the Kavanosa, the Hobby Gemara, Mari Lagabic Tisis Beharis Lotoy Havoido, the Hookshulai de Beparach, Bakula, and Chaikh Lam Dixis and Egabish Vilavoid, the Chikagufa Yikoits. That's the way I learned the taste of its cash. The taste of its cash is, you're suggesting a guy cuts off his whole body. Said the Minchas Real, that's not Pshat. The Ain Nira King Kavanosa. I don't think that's the Pshat in the cash. Why? The Rikasa Bulushaini de Porcha Bakuloi, Ain Lomibosh La Yikoits. Because what was the Lashon of the Gemara? What was the Lashon of the taste of it? The Lashon of the Taisurid was the Parcha Bekulu and Ein Loim Maboish LeYikoitz. Harid the Mari Al Isik Tzitza. We're not saying that it's impossible to do it. We're just saying that it's an Isser to do so. I mean, I learned the Taisurid that's from a practical standpoint. The guy's going to cut off his whole body. That's crazy. He's saying, but if you look carefully, the Lashon of the Taisurid doesn't sound like that. The Lashon of the Taisurid was what? He says, Ein Loim Maboish LeYikoitz. Given the Parcha Bekulu Atoy Kol Guf LeYikoitz, he's learning that it's some halachic problem. So what's the pshat? So he says, "V'yeshloim malam mavur b'minchas chinuch mitzvah tovkof peidalav sefir alav." Let's the daik midivay Rambam pergiur b'tomas teras ta'koytis is a nega chayiv. The zechayiv rak b'koytis kuloi. A person's only violating the isra if he cuts off an entire teras. If a guy has a big teras, he cuts off half the teras. That's not a violation. L'chein hocha b'koytis nega sheparcha b'kula chayiv raki mitzvah kol gufoi. So that was the kash. The kash was you'll never be chayiv because you're never going to get all of it. Not the kasha wasn't that it's not practical. The kasha was you won't be in violation until you cut off all of it, and that's not practical. That's all over his whole body. That's how he learns the Taisus. Okay, whatever the case is, atkan for the lomus of negayim, but it's machlokes rishayim between Rashi and Taisus. What's a negatar? But the question is, whatever a negatar is, why can't you work in the Beis Hamikdash with it? You're not tamei. It's a negatar. So why can't you work in the Beis Hamikdash? So the Sfasemis writes over here based on a Gemara in Bechiris. If you look in the Mishnah Bechiris, Mishnah Bechiris is a whole list of mumin that makes a kohen pasul avoida, and it throws in over there negoyim tahirim. Doesn't say too much. So the Sfasemis writes, "Negoyim tahirim, Michael Meimer, tam pasul avoida shouldn't have a bal mum ba'oidin olav." So the Sfasemis, it's a mum. It's not a tuma. It's a mum. Now it's interesting, if you look up that Gemara in Bechiris, it doesn't say Mefurish this. It's just that the Mishnah lumps in all the Psule Kahuna Legabe Mumin, and it throws in Bahuk. So you assume it's all the same reason. That's what the Chassam Sofer is assuming. But it's not Mefurish to my knowledge in that Mishnah that it has to be like that. But that's the assumption. This is the way the Sfasemis writes it. Other Achareinim write it as well, that Tomei Negoyim, that are tahar, the goyim tahirim, pasu yu la'avoida under the principle of mum. Okay, fine. So now the shaila that someone brought up, I think last week, is what would happen if you have a baby on day 8, and the tzaras will get better by the end of the day. Tzaras will clear up by midday. So do you say, asay deich alay sasay, or do you say, no, let's wait till the tzaras. And it's Shabbos. So, well, it doesn't have to be Shabbos. For tzaras and mila, those two things are always going to be a conflict. Now you have mila but tzaras.
Yep. And so reason is only a nicety.
Good. So the answer is like everything else in life, it's a machlokes. Okay, it's a machlokes achrayin. So if you look in the Dvar of Rom, in the Covenant of Rav number 8, he writes like this. So the Dvar of Rom, he said, let's talk about another case. He says, he's not Mazeh as a kasha, and this question was also brought up, I believe, last week. He says like this. Hatinich mila bizmanoi shabbat doche le tzeras. I get it. A mila bizmanoi is doche tzeras. How long are you going to wait for? If I wait for the tzaras to get better, I'm going to miss out. The Gemara told us clearly that if you have a mila shloi bezmana, the baby's day 8, the baby's day 10, and the baby has a tzaras on his body, no problem. Cut the tzaras and do the mitzvah. Why? You're not getting day 8 anymore. You lost day 8. It's already day 10. Why don't you just wait? Why don't you just wait?
Eventually
will go away. At some point. The point over here is we have a rule. I say the is only when it's Eif Shel Kaim Shneim. If it's Eif Shel Kaim Shneim, we got to make it work. So Mila B'Shmini, by definition, it's Eif Shel Kaim Shneim. I can't give the baby bris on day 8 if the Tzaras won't clear up until day 10. But it's not day 8 anymore. So this is with the Dvar Avram. If you remember, we had this famous Dvar Avram months ago. I shouldn't say months ago. We're only on our 46th share, so it can't be 20 months ago. But a while back, we had this very fundamental machlokes. If every minute after Tamila Shalei Bezmanoi, is there a violation of an Isser? Once it's not day 8 anymore, does anyone care what day you do the bris? Day 9, 10, 11, who cares? It's not day 8, all bets are off. So the Dvar Avram presented this argument that it does matter. And that's why the Dvar Avram was of the opinion that if you have a baby on day 8 and a baby on day 10, baby on day 10 goes first. This was the Dvar Avram we spoke about at length. Reb Chaim disagreed. And Chazash disagrees with it, right? We went through all the back and forth rayas about this a couple of times. But this is the Dvar Avram. This is the same truth from the Dvar Avram. He discusses if you have a baby on day 8 and a baby on day 10, who goes first? Says the Dvar Avram, no Shaila. Day 10 goes first. Why? Because day 8 had to be a mashmini, that's just the din of Zerizus. But day 10, every minute you're delaying, the father, the baby, how you learn the Rambam we spoke about, isn't a violation. So day 10 has to go first. Says the Dvar Avram, oh, that's Kishmach now. That answers my kasha. Why do you have to rush to do a mila b'shaloi b'zmani with tzaras? Let the tzaras clear up, because every minute the father's in a violation. Says the Dvar Avram, that can't be true. So then there's no mitzvah b'yamashmini. So there's no shayla, the whole shayla they're doing a mila. You have no mitzvah mila if you can't do a mila. The Gemara is assuming not like you. If your assumption is Einis Vechamar Apatris, then the whole Gemara doesn't get off the ground. What's the shayla? Mila deicha? Mila's not deicha anything. You have no mitzvah mila today.
It could be a mitzvah, but that doesn't mean that you're either on an Isser every minute.
So we spoke about this. We did speak about this, I think. What would cause you to be over? It's only over if you could do it and you decide not to do it versus if you can't do it. I think we discussed that. I think so. But he's assuming that if you have the tzaras, that's not a mila-based problem. That's a tzaras-based problem. So if also the mila you can go, then you have to do it. Then he writes a gevaldige chiddush. He says, "V'apizei yischadosh lom b'mila b'zmanoi, im nirish sheboi b'yoyim tisrapa ha-tzaras." Let's say, forget Shabbos, forget day 8. The baby has tzaras. Doctor says it'll be better by 6 o'clock tonight. So now do you ask yourself, do I say the chalais say, or do I just wait till 6 o'clock tonight?
So what's the havmin not to wait? If you're not over on any mitzvah, as long as it's still day 8.
Says the Dvar Avram, you're not allowed to give the meal until it gets better. What's the problem?
If you get better, you do it.
Oh, what?
And if it didn't get better,
if you're watching day 8, tick, 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 and now it's 10 minutes, you got to do it. But the question is like this. The doctor tells you, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, the baby will be tzaras free baby. Why push it? I guess there must be some way to be able to tell this. I don't know. However, they would know that it's going to get better. So zok the dvar Avram, a gevald gechidish.
Is it kind of the idna and the same
thing? Maybe. We're going to talk about that in a second. I think it's kinnir machalikis b'shainim. But we're assuming now that.
You can argue the other way.
Why?
Because every second you wait is.
Not in Yom HaShmini. Not in Yom HaShmini. It's only after Shmini. Yom HaShmini is just a question of his reason. Yom HaShmini is different than 9 and 10. So Zok the Dvar Avram, why should you violate it if you don't have to? We have a principle of Efshel Kaim Shnei. Says the Dvar Avram, Bilvad Bivad Ledachi Tzaras. Avamidu Shloi Bizman Afbish and Tzarabat Tzaras Lacha Shoa Inir Rashay Lam. Then you can't wait. So this sounds what we call all this logical, right? This sounds pretty logical. Comes along the Divri Yecheskel and he disagrees. Zok the Divri Yecheskel number 9, he has an idea that disagrees with this Dvar Avram. He writes, he quotes a Dvar Avram that understands that Mila B'Tzaras is working with the principle of Asidei Chaloisa Say. Now the truth is, it's really telling how you learned the previous Gemara. If you learned the previous Gemara that Mila is Deichet Tzaras because of the word Bisar, so then it's Xeris HaKosef. It's Xeris HaKosef, then Lav Dafki, you'd have to wait. Mashenki, if it's working with Asidei Chaloisa Say, like the Rambam learns, then you have to make the two things work. But he writes, this is all quoting from the Dvar Avram. Then he says, I don't think that's true. Says, I disagree with the Dvar Avram. Even though it's just reason, there's nothing else, I still think that Zrizin beats it out. The female, the masik rav Hashem, the milu b'zmanu le'tzarech kro, because milu b'zmanu doesn't need a pasuk. Why? The em Shabbos achamur deich etzvas akol lekol shekein. Veim kein linyan hakdomo gufo yeshlases hach kavachomer the magdamas milu deich etzvas bechteish le'achor kol shekein shedeich etzvas bechir gavim. He brings right from a taisus that we had a while back ago. Taisus said that if you have the ability that he was going in machshiri milu, if you have the ability to do something in a way that would be less chilul Shabbos, but would take longer, and you have the right to violate your Shabbos and do it quicker. Shalos, why? Because you see, that part of Doiche is not just for getting it done, but for how quick it gets done. So therefore says the Divri Yecheskel, you see that the quickness is part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's not just getting it done on day 8, it's getting it done as soon as possible on day 8. Therefore, if it's getting it done as soon as possible on day 8,
it's not taking any more time to do it at 8 in the morning than 6 in the morning.
Yes, it is. It's earlier in the day. Meaning, time-wise. I mean, the Tosafot talked about a case where if you would bring the knife through...
We're going to carry through all the different...
Right. That's right. Right, so Tosafot had a kasha. Why don't you just take the knife and go it in a funny way, and you won't be having any issues. So Tosafot says, that's going to take too much, too late. The question is, so what? Let it take longer. Tosafot says, the Divi Yecheskel, you see from over here, that when it's delaying a mitzvah, is also a premise for Deiche. If you have the right to do the mitzvah, then you have the right to do the mitzvah. Not only the mitzvah, the earliest possibility of the mitzvah. Again, it's a chiddush to us, but it's a machlokes achronim. What would you do in such a case where you could do the mitzvah without violating the yisr, but it would be delayed by a significant amount of time? So he assumes it would not be, the Dvar Avram assumes it would not be permissible, while the Divri Yecheskel assumes it would be permissible.
So that Zrizim is docha alav.
Right, so you have to ask yourself, is it Zrizim or is it the heter of Mila?
It's Zrizim.
It's not so much Zrizim, it's really the heter of Mila. The din of Mila which requires you to do it on Biyom HaShmini, is not just do it on Biyom HaShmini, do it as soon as possible on Biyom HaShmini.
But that's his reason.
So as we spoke about...
So he's learning his wisdom as part of the mitzvah.
As we spoke about in the past, is the reason a chelik of the mitzvah, is the reason of, so I think it might be part and parcel of the mitzvah to get the milah done as soon
but
as possible.
Only to milah, because you could always argue you'd give a...
Perhaps. That's only where we have to talk about it by bris.
Can be derived to kolotot.
Pashtus, perhaps not. Okay. Perhaps, yes, that's correct. If you all this, again, but that's always the problem, because we're going to deal in a second, one of these weeks, with Efshe L'Kayim Shneim. How does Efshe L'Kayim Shneim work into the lumnus of Hutchel versus the Chuyah? So we'll have to.
Also, you keep in mind is Ishtab Chamime, meaning I have this in front of me right now. So do I have to think 10 steps ahead, or do I just do what's in front of me right now?
That was the sugi we brought up in the beginning of the parak, right? With the water and all these things. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how exactly to balance all these things, but I thought this was something that we spoke a little bit about last week, about why, someone I think asked this kasha, why you deicha just let the tzaras get better? The answer is, well, depends when the tzaras is going to get better. Let's talk a little bit about asei deicha lois asei, a little bit about efshe l'kayim shneim. I'm sorry, about the idea of be'idna. The Gemara had a comment that you only see asei deicha lois asei when it's what's called be'idna. They're all happening at the same time. Let's say tzitzis and klein. The moment I put on the tzitzis, I'm violating the isur klein, but I'm getting the mitzvah of tzitzis.
So you're allowed to wear
tzitzis
that are
clean. That's a case of the Gemara of Asei Deicha Lois Asei. You're perhaps allowed to wear...
Tchelis has to be wool. So if you have linen tzitzis...
Right. That's you're going to end up with tzaras. Now, there's a kasha, not for us. When exactly are you fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis? When do you violate the Israel of Shatnes? Is it, one is at the time of Levisha, and one is at the time of Atifa, when you wrap versus when you put it on? So do those happen simultaneously? One can argue that. I'm not going to get into that now. But the Gemara calls it clearly, that's be'idna. What's another case of be'idna? Mila b'tzaras. The moment you slice off the tzaras, that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah. What's not be'idna? Cutting off a tzaras, you can go walk to the Beis HaMikdash and work in the Beis HaMikdash. Frekdin Muke Yosef and Bar Mitzia in the second parak, number 10, he has a kasha. The din over there is, do you say, I say, Deicha Lois Asei, that a Kohen is allowed to return an Aveda? Let's say a Kohen is walking past a cemetery, he's not near the trees, and he sees there's a lost object in the cemetery. So he has to go retrieve the lost object, asei, of Hashiv Tishiv. You have a mitzvah of Heshiv, whatever, you have to return Avedis. So he says to himself, but I have a lav of, I'm not allowed to become Tomei. So the Kohen's a big lav, and he says, asei dechalois asei. The question over here, so the Rif writes, I have a special Gzeris HaKosov, that the Kohen is not allowed to do that. Why, says the Rif? Because if not, I would apply the rule of Asei Deicha Lois Asei. Frekten Muki Yosef, Asei Deicha Lois Asei. How does that work? The Aveda is... Oh, there's two ways to say this. The Aveda could be deep into the cemetery. He walks halfway through the cemetery, picks up the Aveda, and now he's holding it. There's no mitzvah holding an Aveda. What's the mitzvah of returning it?
And so, he doesn't even know if he'll...
Yeah, it's a
possible. Oh, Hechshe mitzvah. Oh, good. So we're going to get into the question of, well, how does Asei Deicha Lois Asei work for a Hechshe mitzvah? But what I really want to get to is really the kasha on our sugya. When you do the mila, we know there's two steps to mila. There's mila and paria. You cut and you peel back. The Gemara says, if you're mol v'loy para, you don't get the mitzvah. So frek, the muki yosef, it's not be'idna anymore. Right. You cut off the tzaras, that's mila. You didn't do priya yet. If you walk away right after that, you don't have a bris. So when tzaras is doicha, it's also not be'idna. So why did the Gemara call mila b'tzaras as the example of
because one's automatic. There's a big difference.
Okay, good. So let's see the Muki Yosef. He's going to say lumdus along these lines. So he writes it this number 10. Let's say Toma only had a laugh. Muki Yosef is assuming this cash that you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda until you actually return it.
So the guy, as soon as he walks into the cemetery,
he's already telling
the mitzvah, he's telling.
Right, so that's where we would have asked it from. We would have asked it. Right. He's assuming that the assay is only until you return it. We would have assumed perhaps the assay is once he picks it up. He becomes a Shomer Aveda, and now he's required to watch it, maybe.
But even if once he walked in, he's already Tomei.
Well, I don't know where the object is located.
Why would you assume that?
Which way?
The idea is to return the object, not to pick up the object.
All right, so that's where the Muki Yosef is saying, like you. The Muki Yosef is assuming that the essay is not fulfilled until it's returned to the rightful owner. So when are you over the lav? You're over the lav the day you walk into the cemetery. When are you becoming the essay? 3 months later, when you find the owner.
No, carrying the aved is a mitzvah. That's the whole...
It's part of the Iker mitzvah.
So let's see what he says.
Why don't we say that when you walk into the cemetery, it's not as the Dechalosa say, because the second you walk in, it's a lav, and even till you pick it up, could be 2 minutes later.
That's why I say there's two ways to ask it. Either the kasha is on the location of the object, or the kasha is on the returning of the object. Right. It might be a difference. Says the Mukhi Yosef, the tier two.
But the mitzvah is as soon as you walk into the place of kvar.
That's the mitzvah?
Yes, the lav. No, it's the lav.
It's also the mitzvah, because part of Hashanah's Aved is getting the
object. Okay, good. So let's see. Says Akhtin Mukhi Yosef, the tier two, the Rav Chodem Milsa Akshihachi. Okay, so one tier says you're right. We could have said that. We wanted to say something else.
But you're now allowed to ignore the Aved, right? You can't turn your eyes away.
Right, that was the Xeris Akasavos. Xeris Akasavos, these people are allowed to, because they're not allowed to return it.
But Chaim just said it won't even work because he's not even in the place of Kabaros. He starts walking through it, so now he's done that part. If he's holding, that's the mitzvah. You've already had Machshavah to do that.
Yeah, again.
Before, so you're never going to get it exact.
Okay. So let's see. Let's see what the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says. V'haran ben Tirutz, t'hocha nami, v'shod over alav kayim ha'aseh. Zog the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, it's not true. The time when you're over the lav and you become tummy, that's when you become that say, kamila b'tzaras. It's just like mila b'tzaras. Tahom is asiku b'mitzvah sashova, because you're involved in the mitzvah. B'shas akiva salav. The alpha pishole nigmira. Yes, we did not conclude the mitzvah, but ma b'kach. Mitzvah's mila le nigmira. Right, so like Mukhi Yosef, it's just like mila. Ad the para, because you didn't really finish the mitzvah until you did the priya. The kamlam, we learned mal v'loy para ki l'loy mal v'loy mematina alaki dami neperak yabalaz demila v'yikatz b'eros v'yamay shemeshosh yikatz b'eros emesatzik b'gufish al mitzvah tanu avoyde ela machshireha. So Akhtin Mukhi Yosef, I'll prove it to you from our Gemara. Our Gemara calls mila be'idna, same time. Why is it not the same time? You're not yet to the mitzvah until you do the priya. So Akhtin Mukhi Yosef, because that's the same time. I'm involved in the mitzvah. Once I'm involved in the mitzvah, that's called be'idna. Meaning, when you cut off the tzaras of the kohen walks to the base of Mikdash, you're not really involved in anything. Hashem, this is part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is walking into the cemetery, getting the object, holding the object, taking the object back to my house. That's all part and parcel of the mitzvah. So that's considered, I say, the chalais, I say, be'idna.
Can you do it on Shabbos? If it's Michal Shabbos, go get an Aveda to return?
No. That's a separate Shabbos. The reason why this came up was because the Rif writes that a kohen is not allowed to become tamei. A kohen is not allowed to return an object because of the Gemara's drushes that no, that a kohen is not allowed to do that. The Gemara's drusha that sometimes you're not supposed to return avedas. So the Gemara says, who is that? That's a kohen in the cemetery. Zaki ben lefichoy. Did they have a specific heter not to? But sometimes the Mukhi Yosef is pointing out that the Rif made it sound like you'd have alumnus of Eva Seder Chalais. I say, frektim, it's not Be'inna the answer, it is Be'inna. Be'inna doesn't mean the mitzvah directly, it's when you're involved in the mitzvah. He explains. The guf ikar asay maskel b'shas v'yosay. Listen to this line. The mitzvah starts when you see it. That's when the mitzvah starts. Hilkach emu mechav and the gozloi oylei lechol miyad over asay. Now, when does the mitzvah start? So he assumes it's when you see it. And you make that decision to either be a ganif to take it or to return it. That's when the mitzvah starts. So it's taka considered. It's been at the exact same time. Now, it might even be earlier, right? The aseh starts when you're outside the cemetery, and the lav is when you walk into the cemetery. But
and it's fine, according to the
Yeah, that's fine. Because it's still bitten at the same time. At the same time. They're all involved in the mitzvah. Then he quotes another pshat from Rabbi Yehoisef, who writes this. The loy sabri hachi, the yichoylem loymar, the loy dami lemila, the mila kol ma shenasa ba, hu guf hamitzvah atzma. That's all part and parcel of the mitzvah. Vim loy gomra, Loi nas is elachatzia mitzvah, meaning ma'ol v'loi para is a half a mitzvah, but it's something. It's a half a mitzvah. K'moishim loi hitol tzitzis ela b'shtei knofav. Lechem b'tkiya shofer im loi hishlam atkiyas. You didn't get it all. You got some of it. No. We're just talking about this idea that there is at least a mitzvah there. Avagab yashavas avei the ikur guf hamitzvah hashava bebeis habaylim. Shezo ikur guf kavonas hamitzvah. V'hashar, havi ke'en machshiri mitzvah. Tevadi af bishet tzorech l'hashava saveda ha'natil v'avo, ka'en b'chein ikr gof ha'mitzvah hu hashava el beisoy. V'dami l'machshiri shar mitzvahs. He's just pointing out that he thinks that mila and priya are not like hechsheri mitzvah. Walking to a cemetery to pick up an object is a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is returning it to the bailam. This is a very fundamental lamdash machalikis in hashava saveda. First pshat of the Mukhi Yosef is the mitzvah is all inclusive. According to the second pshat, that's not the pshat. The mitzvah is one mitzvah, returning it. Everything till there is merely a hechsher mitzvah. It's just a hechsher mitzvah. Masha'enki by mila and priya are not two hechsher mitzvahs. They're halves of the same mitzvah. Mila is half the mitzvah, and priya is the other half of the mitzvah.
If you see this aveda and you know who belongs to both, rather than going to the aveda, you go to the guy. In the meantime, that aveda gets destroyed. Who's
chayv? Well, no one's chayv.
Isn't the guy chayv?
No, he never picked it up. He can't chayv. No, he can't be chayv al shomer aveda.
He should have done it.
He might have been mevatel and aseh, which HaKadosh Baruch will be upset at him. He's not chayv al shomer aveda until he makes some form of a kinyan on it. Until he brings it into his rishos. So I thought this was just an interesting idea over here in the lumness of understanding the mitzvah of Shabbos aveda.
Yeah, but does it really? So we know that a hechsher mitzvah is getting the sharpening the knife. Okay, so clearly it's not part of the act of the mila.
Right.
It's the utensil you need to do the act. Now that we're saying that that's comparable to literally going to retrieve the item to return it, but it's all part of it. I don't see how it's comparable.
No, because
I understand that the ultimate responsibility is to put the item in the other person's hands, but you can't do any of that.
Right. So the question is, this is always the fundamental question. The first part of the Ran was saying that's all inclusive in the mitzvah. That's always the question. What's considered a heksher mitzvah? What's part of the mitzvah? This is always where it becomes very blurred. How do you figure out heksher mitzvah versus what the Mugezer calls a gufa chelik meha mitzvah?
So I'm not eating matzah, for example. So is it the chewing it or is it the swallowing it? Right? I mean,
it's a chewing
things, right? You could chew it and spit it out to get the mitzvah.
Right. Which the Gemara says in Ayetz, right?
Right, but you make the bracha over the asiyasa.
Right. So the assumption is the mitzvah is eating it, and you can't eat it unless you chew it, even though there are people who stuff it down their throats.
The question is it focus on the focus on the results?
Perhaps, that might be the machlekes, what they're arguing about. What was the Torah want you to do? Does the Torah want you to do your job? The Torah wants a final result. Give it back to the owner. This is always the question that we deal with when these types of mitzvahs.
What if the moil cut, but it didn't do with the priya. He stopped for everyone.
So he did a half a mitzvah. A half a mitzvah.
That means he's not a gemal, right?
Right, the kid is not considered a fool. He's a half a gemal kid.
So what's in terms of
according to him, that's considered you did a mitzvah. You did a half a mitzvah. You did a mitzvah. You're oisik be half a mitzvah. Okay, so let's start the next gemara, so we can at least start the next gemara. Oh, so now we're going to get really heavily involved in some new lumdas. Zok the gemara. Before that, let's just see Rabbeinu Chananel. I apologize for everyone's vision, but let's look at Rabbeinu Chananel together. Rabbeinu Chananel, I tried my best. I really did. I apologize. I apologize. I don't have like a deal with your eye doctors that the more I give you bad marmakramis, you have the ability to shrunch. The Rabbeinu Chananel is number 12. You got to look like this. Rabbeinu Chananel writes, he tries to explain why taka, this is an interesting question. Why taka does it need to be bitten? We just spent this whole Nemukah Yosef trying to figure out what constitutes bi'inna. But a better question, why does something have to be bi'inna? Why does Asei Dechalei say need to be bi'inna? Why? So Ben Chananel sheds a very important light over here. He writes...
Because it's two separate entities, that's why.
So what? So what's,
you don't have Asei Dechalei say unless it comes sort of a vasach.
Why?
Because it's not.
It is. This assay is what... The assay is... Again, if you look at Asei Dechalei say is, I need to get to the final result. I have a mitzvah I must do and everything gets pushed away. So who cares when everything happens? If this assay is, if a lab is standing in my way, I push it away. So who cares when I push it away? Says Rabbeinu Chananel, very practically. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, Kloimar, Im Yesh Tzeraz Bo'ar L'Bechatichas Or L'Vatzeraz Oleh Neskayim Amil Shaper Chem Eklai Metzidus Avol Zeh She'omar V'yikatz Beherosa V'yavar HaChaticha Atzeraz L'Hachshor Koy Lav L'Voy De'ina Doim L'Eilu She'yitochein She'yachtich Atzeraz Me'olov V'hu L'Yas Avoyda. There's no direct connection that it's going to happen. What's going to happen over here? You cut off the kain saras and he goes home and takes a nap. So you violated a lav for no aseh. There's no guarantee. So the Rabbeinu Chananel, aseh the chalaisa say only if you guarantee that the aseh is the lav is justified. What justifies me to cut off the saras? Because he's going to go right now and do a mitzvah. Who said he's going to go do a mitzvah?
It's his mishmar that week.
Yeah. Doesn't mean he has to go. He can decide to pass up. He won't go. But over here, it's impossible. There's no two ways around it. It's going to happen. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Chananel, but the ine nekra as a rosh hashanah. That's why he says it's no good. So perhaps according to Rabbeinu Chananel, he can answer the Nemukah Yosef's kasha about moav leipara. What's the likelihood of the moel stopping after he does the mila and not doing the priya? It's not all that likely. I'm done. You know, I'm only paid up till here. Likelihood, it's one big, one long action. So whenever the chash is that there's going to be a time break between the lav and the assay, we're nervous. We're worried. What guarantees that he'll do the assay which justified the violation of the lav? But if everything is so close in proximity, so it could be there's no problem.
They're all service in an assay, whether something is chiyuv or something, whether it's just a mitzvah. It's like doing the avoda is a mitzvah.
Right.
Right? Because other people can do the avoda.
Technically, right.
But bris, which is an assay.
And it's a must. It's a good point also.
Or a Hashavas Aveda.
Which is a mandatory chiv, as opposed to a, right, a mitzvah that
so
you.
Maybe there's a distinction there.
Right? It's a good order. Yeah.
The whole mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is, you don't even know if it's going to be a mitzvah. Yeah, it might be like
hefker. Right, like that's true too. It's a good point. It might be. I mean, you say that Hashavas Aveda is really, there's always a suffix mitzvah.
Yeah, it's always a suffix
mitzvah. Right, unless you know already that it's someone's, right? And very unclear. This can all, the chayr, this can all work its way into the Mukhi Yosef's kasha. Okay, let's just start the new Gemara. Zakh Gemara number 13, Tanoi. Zakh Gemara, this whole shayla is a machloikis Tanoi. The Tanya we learned in the is Bisar. It says in the Torah, Bisar, Af Mishi Yashon Beheres, even though there's a Beheres, Yimol. Cut off the bris, cut off the tzaras, and do the bris. Divi Rabbi Yoshi. If you're in the Sulama, ain't it tzarech, you don't need a pasuk, because Shabbos chamura doiche, tzaras like hoshkin. You don't need any fancy drushes. It's a simple kavachimer that tzaras loses out to a meal. Omar, bisar af bisheshon, beheres yimol. The Gemara has a drusha from the word bisar. If anyone's curious, we now switched over to kuflam at gimel amaralf. If anyone ever opens up a Rebbe loves a meal on their own, you'll notice we're on Kofam with Gimel Maralf. That means we covered almost two blot, which is a very big accomplishment for over here. We gotta skip to one omit, so don't tell anyone.
Shir
Mem Vav
is months here. We
need weekly. I know. Daily. Okay. Gemara. Kasha. This is where we get into some very geshmak alumnus. Halom alikra. Fakti Gemara, why do we need a pasuk that you're allowed to cut off a mila, even though you'll, by definition, be cutting off a tzaras? I have no intention to cut off the tzaras. I want to cut off. I want to do a meal. I'm a moil. I'm not a negoyim, a tzaras cutter. I'm a moil. I cut off earlys. That's my job. So what's the problem? We have a principle. Dovish eidem eschavenu. Dovish eidem eschaven mutter. Dovish eidem eschaven mutter, says the Gemara.
Isn't that an issue?
So the Gemara. So here what we need to talk about, and we're not going to have time for it, is before we get to, we'll see Pesukim in a second. The rule of dovish eidem eschaven mutter is that l'chol haTorah kula. That's only by Shabbos, right? When do we apply the rule of Dovish and Mishchavin? I had no intent, and therefore free of all, exempt of all punishments because I had no intent. Or that's a Shabbos based Isser.
Like dragging a chair on the ground.
So let's see. So let's just finish the Gemara, then we'll come back to it. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, Leinitzucha El Rebbe Yehuda. No, no, no. This Gemara is needed according to Rebbe Yehuda. To Amar, who says, Dovish and Mishchavin Isser. So the Gemara says, you're right. According to everyone else, that Dovish and Mishchavin Mutter, you would be allowed to cut off the Tzaras without a problem. But according to Rebbe Yehuda, the famous Shittas of Yehuda and Shabbos, that Dovish and Mishchavin Isser, according to Yehuda, you have to need a pasuk to be matred. Frankly, Gemara Rav, what are you talking about? I feel tame Reb Shimon. It can even go according to Reb Shimon. Why? Because Moed Reb Shimon, Psik Reisha V'layomus. We have a principle that anything which is a Psik Reisha is also awesome. Frankly, Gemara, Abaya Lesley Haisvar, what's Abaya talking about? Abaya made it sound like that you have to discuss the Sugi of Dov V'Shein Meschavin according to Yehuda versus according to everyone else. Frankly, Gemara, but you, Abaya, you're the one who told us Psik Reisha is awesome. So if you know Psik Reish is also, so then you don't have to make it only Rabbi Yehuda, it can be according to everyone. Says the Gemara, aye. V'abaye v'rov adami t'vayu moide Rabbi Shimon Psik Reish v'layamus v'asa d'shame mirova savra savra. That's only after the fact. He didn't know this yet. Abaye didn't yet learn of this chiddush called Psik Reish. Now that in Chanami, Abaye now knows Psik Reish, so he doesn't need this. But before Abaye knew Psik Reish, he had to say it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda has a principle, dovish ein meschaven asa. Now we know that principle by Shabbos. The question is, well, this is really for next week, is this considered a Dovah Shein Meschavin, or would this be considered a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa?
What?
Well, again, I mean, does this fit the definition of what we'd call an Ein Meschavin? What's an Ein Meschavin? Do I want the result without the intention, or I don't intend for that result at all? We'll have to discuss what makes something an Ein Meschavin. We'll leave it for next week. But the Rajba writes over here, number 14, Amr Abay L'Ritzvach El Rabbi Yehuda, the Amr Davish Mischavin Aser, U'mehacha Shaminon, and we learn from here, the Davish Ein Mischavin, Rabbi Yehuda Aser De'iraisa. Rabbi Yehuda has this famous sheet, the Davish Ein Mischavin Aser. Now, is that a Din De'iraisa? That's a Din De'Rabban. Says the Rajbi, you see from our Gemara, it must be a De'iraisa. Because the Gemara says, there's no reason why you need a pasuk for Besai to justify a Mila. What's wrong with the Mila B'Tzaras? It's Davish Ein Mischavin. The answer is, oh, we're going according to Yehuda. And Yehuda holds Davish Ein Mischavin Aser. Okay, so, that's why you need a pasuk? Davish Ein Mischavin Aser is only the Rabbanan. And we're talking about the Torah. Oh, says the Rashi, you see from over here, that Dovish Ein Mischavin Aser is a din d'oraisa. That when you do something without intention, whatever you do, you're held accountable.
He has Mischavin for both.
That's what we have to talk about. That's what we're going to have to talk about, Blinada, next week. What's his intention? So we'll have to get to that, Blinada, next week. The problem with this Rashba is it seems to be a Machloikish Rishon. Rashi and Kuf Chof Aleph, Amid Aleph and Shabbos, Rashi writes not like that. The Gemara over there is talking about stepping on animals. They're in your way. They're dangerous. So the Gemara says, you know what? You're not allowed to kill an animal upwardly. So just walk. And if the animal happens to die under your foot, no, yeah. So is. Says Rashi, why is that permitted? You don't have to jump over it. Because you're not intending. It's only the Rabbanan. What do you mean it's only the Rabbanan?
So maybe the Rabbanan is when it's not a Pesik Reish or whatever.
No, but the Gemara by us was going before Pesik Reish. The Gemara told us, Rabbi Huda, Dovah, Shem, Eschav, and us. Taisvus and Shabbos, Daf, Memal, if that's the difference. By Shabbos, that it's Taka, no, it's only the Rabbanan by Shabbos. Because Shabbos, we have a principle of Melachas Machsheves. It takes much more in your mind to make a Melachas. So therefore, Zok Taisvus and Shabbos, that's the difference. When we're talking about Chol HaTorei Kulo, Tzaras, the issue of Karnak about Tzaras, then Dovah, Shem, Eschav, and Asa Midirais. Mashenkin, by Shabbos, have you all Dovah, Shem, Eschav, is only Asa Midirabonon, because Melachas Machsheves is Asa Torah, and therefore you need much more mental capacity to be over and is.